It's incredible. So, and building during a pandemic. That's good. That is good. Good music practice. Good jam session today. And as far as announcements, there is, we're going to have a little director's meeting right after church Sunday. And I think Sunday evening is teen night. Is that right? That is right. Sunday evening's teen night. So we won't have potluck. We'll be teen night. And then we've got public ministry, Kennedy tomorrow at 10, and then Friday around 6. And what else is happening? I think that's what's happening. All right, Proverbs. We're in Proverbs. I know some more folks are coming in. Lots of folks sick. There's a lot of people sick lately. I know they're on the prayer list, but Darla is back in the hospital. Ken Jr. is not doing well. Who else? Well, Mary Beth's in the ER. Several things happening. Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to do verses 7 through 9. And the subject this evening is where education begins. Where education begins. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Chains is, that's like necklaces, it's jewelry. So it's a good thing. It's an ornament. It's a good thing there. So let's pray. And I'm kind of sort of stalling because I see several folks coming in, so I'm trying to like go slow here. So Proverbs chapter 1 verses 7 through 9 is where we're at, but let's pray and then we will get started. Father, thank you so much for your words. I do pray for Mary Beth that you'd get the doctor's wisdom to figure out whatever's going on with her heart this evening. And there's so many folks that are sick. Ken Jr. and Darla back in the hospital. I know Tammy's sister had a stent put in yesterday. Lord, I pray that you would help the folks that are sick and give the doctors wisdom to address the problems that need to be addressed. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray you bless our study and our preaching this evening. I pray you minister to our hearts the way we need to be ministered to. Thank you for the Mullers getting here safely. I pray you give them safety as they get down to the border tomorrow, and that the paperwork would get done in a timely way, and they could get going, heading south by Friday. And thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. I'll read it again quickly. And the theme, like I said, is where education begins. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." There's three things I want to show you from these verses. And principles, really, a couple principles, and then just a matter of explanation. When the Lord says knowledge in this verse, and really throughout Proverbs, there's a particular knowledge that is more important than any other knowledge. He's not talking about an American education or something from the American education system or the whatever other country education system. Plenty of people end up with a good education and end up lost and end up under God's judgment. And they're intelligent people, and they have good educations. The knowledge that the Lord is talking about, the knowledge is the education that matters. And that knowledge, it has to do with the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of God. And it's interesting because all through your Old Testament, it's really everywhere. But I want to show you a few verses that deal with this. But the knowledge of God is the preeminent thing. I mean, it is absolutely necessary. I'll give you a couple verses on that. I'll just read them to you because I got a few here. Jeremiah chapter 9 said this. Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." So this is a wise man. He's not dumb. He's not ignorant. "Let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him glory. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Now that's knowledge of God, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. In John, he says it this way, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee," that's the knowledge of God, "that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." That they might know, that's knowledge of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ defined that as, that's eternal life. That's to know God, to have a knowledge of God. So you can have, if you have a knowledge of God, or say you don't have a knowledge of God, but you have an education in the worldly sense, well, it's not going to do a whole lot of good or any good, really, when it comes down to judgment and eternity and things like that. Negatively stated about the knowledge of God in Psalms, he asks this question. He says, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge?" Have all the workers, and that's not a question of are all these workers of iniquity, they don't have, their minds are blank. It's the knowledge of God. They don't understand God. They don't know God. They don't know who God is. They don't know attributes about God. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? What's happened to them? In Isaiah, he says it this way. He says, "Assemble yourselves, come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge." Listen to this. "They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." He said they have no knowledge. They set up statues. They engrave these pieces of wood. They engrave these, I mean, now, you know, pieces of metal, pieces of plastic. They make these figures and they bow down to the works of their own hands. And the Lord says that group of people has no knowledge. They don't know what they're doing because they don't know me. They don't know me. Hosea, you know this verse. Remember, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. And that's not an education. It's not like they didn't go to the right school. That's they don't know me. They don't know God. In context, it comes in this context. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, blood toucheth blood. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. "Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So the knowledge of God, that's the education God's concerned with. And he says, if you don't have that, if you don't have that, in the end, when it's all shaken out, it's not really going to matter what degree you had and what, you know, college and all that kind of stuff. I get you got to live in the world and all that kind of thing. I get it. But here's where our disconnect is. We are backwards in our thinking about education. Proverbs is God's education. And we would... Here's the illustration of our backwards thinking here. When it comes to spiritual matters, I'm amazed at how often we step back and say things like, when it comes to spiritual things, well, I'm just going to let my children decide what they want to do. Now, you say, well, you know, they're gonna decide one day. They are going to decide. Everybody's going to decide. Everybody's got mind. Everybody's got a will. They're going to decide what they're going to do. But you would never say that about their kindergarten or their first grade or their second grade. Hey, I don't want to go to school today. Okay, don't go to school today. You'd never say that. You'd say, forget your headache. Go to school. I don't care that your tummy aches. Go to school. And here's another one. I don't want to bring my history book to school today. You don't have a choice. Bring your book to class. But come to church. I want to bring my Bible. Well, that's your choice. You understand? I mean, I'm trying to belittle it a little bit, but our thinking is backwards. It's like we delegate the most important decisions to the most inept minds, and then they're just don't have any experience. Your experience ought to count for something. And so we delegate some very important life decisions to our children, and then we don't allow them to make decisions that really aren't that important. So if your kid says, I don't want to go to school today, you would never say, well, you know, it's your choice, Johnny, just don't go. Well, I don't feel like going to school this week. I think I'm gonna go somewhere else. Okay, just, you know, stay away. But when it comes to the things of God, well, I don't feel like going to church. Okay, well, let's just not go. You understand? We are backwards in our thinking. God says, this kind of knowledge of me is the most important knowledge you can have. This is the most important knowledge you can have. Because if you have all the other knowledge and you don't have a knowledge of me, that you have no future, you have no hope. But if you have a knowledge of me, there's blessings and benefits that go with that. There's a future, there's hope that goes with that. And I think our belief system as Americans is this. I want my kids to live in pleasure and to deal with things that actually matter in their lives, like morality and knowing God. Those things sometimes get in the way of my kids living in pleasure. And I'd rather them just live in pleasure. I'd rather them be happy. I'd rather them get what they want. And sometimes saying no to that stuff and making their lives a little bit discomforted, I know it's the right thing to do, but you know, I don't really want that for them. And so the philosophy seems to be, my goal is live in pleasure as much as I possibly can. I want my children to be in pleasure as much as I possibly can. So I'm gonna make sure they are prepared to live in pleasure as much as they can. And if that costs me some of the most valuable decisions in their life, I'm willing to let that go. I'm willing to pay that price. I'm willing to not force this on them. I'm not going to instruct them in any way. I'm going to let them make their own decision. I just don't want them to be uncomfortable. And so we back away from some of the most important things that need to be instructed. Did you read in this verse, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father"? That word instruction, I'm not going to say a whole lot about it. I'll just say this, but that means that if he's going to hear instruction, dad has to be giving instruction. Not well, what do you think about it? I get it. You want people to think through things. Yeah, that's good. But your role as mom, as dad, ought to count for some sort of information that kids don't have. It ought to count for some sort of wisdom. And we seem to be backwards on that. It's like I will let you make the choices that really matter in your life. And then things that don't matter, then, I'll make the choices for you. Mom, I don't want to go to school today. I don't want to go to school for the next week. Okay, don't go to school. No, we would never say that. But the Bible, but prayer, but soul winning, I don't know, just the Christian life. Well, I'll let you make that choice. No, those are the most important decisions. These other things, they aren't really that important. If you have character, if you have a knowledge of God, you'll be okay in this life. You'll be okay. Knowing the Lord is the education that matters. When it comes to the things of God, it's like I just don't want to step on their toes. I'm not going to give any instructions. I want them to decide. Well, does your life not have any value? Does the 30, 40 years you've lived, you haven't learned anything to pass on to your kids? Surely you got something. So knowing the Lord, that's the education that matters. When the Lord says knowledge, when Solomon says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the knowledge he's talking about is the knowledge of the Lord, because that's what matters. Second thing I see in this is a principle. Learning begins with your attitude towards authority. That's where learning begins. That's where learning begins. And Solomon starts at the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What your attitude is towards authority is where is it that determines your education. It's good news for some of us. If you don't like sitting at a desk and doing paperwork and memorizing historical events, then I have good news for you. That's not where knowledge begins. Knowledge begins with your attitude towards authority. That's what these verses say. Fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of knowledge. You know what the fear of the Lord is? That's an attitude towards someone who's higher than you. That's an emotion, even. That's an attitude towards someone higher than you. Knowledge begins with how you feel about the Lord, who is the absolute authority. And I'll say it again, it's a principle. Learning begins with your attitude towards authority. So you have verses like this in Proverbs. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. what? And so he gets a spanking, and that's connected to his being rescued from hell? It is. It is. You know why? Because if he's trained, she's trained to understand and have an honor, a respect, a fear, all that stuff of authority, then when God speaks, then it matters. But if children have no respect for mom and dad, and then they come to our Sunday school class, which we have good Sunday school teachers, have good Sunday school classes, but children have no respect for authority, and then they come to a Sunday school class where they hear about a God that makes judgments. They hear about a God that has the opportunity or the ability to bless. But they hear about this God who discerns and really has the power to make judgments and cast in hell. A child that has no respect for mom and dad thinks God's judgment is as big of a joke as mom and dad's judgment. That's what that verse says. If you teach a child early on, authority needs to be honored, needs to be feared, needs to be respected, all that kind of stuff. Then when God speaks, then it matters. But if you never understand that authority matters, if you're just a rebel, then when God speaks, it doesn't matter. You understand the correlation? That's what will be said later on here. If a child is taught at a young age to fear authority, honor authority, that soul has a great chance of avoiding the judgment of God in hell. On the other hand, if you've grown up disrespecting and hating authority, your life is going to be miserable. Plan on being in and out of jail. Plan on making people around you miserable. Plan on hating life. Plan on hating yourself. That's what happens to rebels. So Solomon says, look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is where it begins. Your education begins with how you view authority. As I've, what was the first thing? Y'all know this. The first thing the devil attacked in the garden, when the Lord said, of every tree of the garden, you could freely eat. There's so much food out. There's so much to pick from. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. Well, it's not food. It's a tree, but it's not food. Don't eat of it. And the devil shows up and he says, God really say that? In fact, you know what? You know why God would say something like that? Because he doesn't want you to be like him. And you know what that is? That's just chipping away at authority. And because Eve and then Adam listened to that railing against authority, death entered into mankind. That's what it was. The souls of man are now, I mean, we're damned and cursed and all that kind of thing. Look, if you can destroy authority, if I can destroy authority in your life, if I can destroy your view of authority, that you just hate anyone that tells you what to do, there's a generation of people like that. They just don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to listen to anybody. If you can do that, if you can be convinced how stupid your parents are, if you can be convinced how stupid God is, and I can turn you into a rebel, then I can make it so that you will live in darkness the rest of your life. You will live a miserable life, making people miserable, like I said, probably in and out of jail, all that kind of stuff. But that's the point. That's the opposite. God says education begins. It begins. Really, it really does. It begins with your attitude towards authority. That's where it begins. And so the first thing that Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then the next verse, immediately, my son, hear the instruction of the father. Why does he mention that? Well, your home is the first place anyone experiences authority. That's the first time they experience authority. It's the first time I experienced authority. It's the first time I experienced someone telling me what to do. Dad said, do this. Mom said, do this. Dad said, don't do that. Mom said, don't do that. And so Solomon goes right to the home and he says, look, if your attitude about authority is off, your life is going to be messed up. You're going to have trouble, unnecessary trouble. Learning begins with your attitude towards authority. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. That in the home, that's where you first learn how I'm going to deal with authority. It's the first place you learn how you're going to deal with it. Third thing is this. It's moral decisions. I mentioned this last week, but this is in these verses here. It's moral decisions that determine what kind of life you have. Moral decisions that determine what kind of life you have. It's not English grammar decisions. It's not mathematical ability decisions. It's moral decisions. It's character decisions. Notice how Solomon puts it. He says, for they, these instructions, how I deal with authority, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The ability to listen and obey is what adds value to a life. That's what adds value. He describes a spiritual crown, spiritual necklaces, all that kind of thing, of the most valuable kind. But humility, obedience, honoring authority are all moral decisions that adorn a soul. Those are moral things. And those things, those decisions, that attitude that becomes decisions and becomes moral decisions that determine what kind of life you have. You thought it was trends and fashions that determine what kind of life you live. It's not. It's the instructions of a father that are real crowns. It's the law of a mother that's a valuable necklace. Those things are valuable. Those things have significance far beyond any fleeting fashions. These aren't popular fashions, but they are valuable fashions. These don't change. These make your life fruitful. These keep you out of sin's ditch. So these verses describe really where education begins. Where education begins. It's knowledge of God that it's the education that matters. These learning, like I said, it begins with your attitude towards authority. And then finally, it's moral decisions that determine what kind of life you're going to live. That's what he says. That's what he says. And don't get me wrong. You know, if you need some sort of particular education or learning or whatever to get to do your job, get it. But don't forsake character issues. Don't forsake God. Don't have the mentality that, like we said earlier, we put the thing backwards, where we delegate the most important decisions to the most inexperienced minds. This is a decision that's going to affect the rest. It's going to affect your habits as a teenager. It's going to affect your habits. If it affects your habits as a teenager, it's going to affect your habits as a young adult. And we say, well, just you figure it out. As though you as a parent doesn't have any information on this. He says the instruction of a father, the law of a mother, these things are ornaments. And it's like we don't want to give them any ornament. We don't want to help them out any. But boy, if they want to buck the educational system that you and I know, well, you don't have a choice in that. You're going to school. What happened to? I don't have time to. Whatever it is, something spiritual. I don't have time to read my Bible because I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I got football practice. I got whatever. I got this practice. I got this practice. I'm doing this kind of thing. We're doing this. What happened to, I don't have time for football practice because I got to be praying. What happened to, I don't have time for volleyball because I got to be witnessing. I don't know what it is. What happened to, I don't have time for this other stuff because I'm interested in my relationship with God. But it's like, well, that stuff, take it or leave it. And kids, you can figure it out. I'm going to drag you to church, but then that's about the input you'll get. This other stuff is very important, though. I want you to play sports. I want you to do this. Not that it's bad. We put so much value on things that God doesn't value. I used to hear this all the time. If you play football, it teaches you character and it teaches you life lessons. That's garbage. Some of the best athletes are some of the most immoral people. It didn't teach them anything about life. It gave them money, but it didn't teach them anything about life. So it's not a true statement to say, well, if you do this, it'll build character. You can't build character if you don't have any character. We put value on all these things that God just doesn't put any value on, and then the things God puts value on, we're just kind of like, well, take it or leave it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. And you've seen, some of you who've seen, you've watched people grow up with that attitude, and you know exactly where they're headed. You know exactly where their life is going. Don't tell me what to do. If only I could tell you what to do, it would help you. But that attitude, I know where you're going. I know where this ends up. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. What Proverbs is about, it is God's education. He's going to instruct in righteousness. You got the wise versus the fool. You got the righteous versus the wicked. It is God's curriculum. God's curriculum. So I hope that's helpful to you. There's a lot of good stuff in these verses, but I hope that's helpful to you. Father, please, please, please change our thinking. Please change our thinking to match your thinking. Lord, thank you so much for the words you've given us. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for each soul that's here. I do pray again that you get the Mullers down south safely, and that all the paperwork be done quickly, and they could get headed home Friday. I thank you again for the many blessings you blessed us with. And for the folks that are sick. There's so many. I pray that you'd heal up their bodies and give the doctors wisdom, give them comfort. I know anxiety is such a big deal right now. So many folks anxious and fearful, and just a lot of seems like a lot of folks sick and a lot of folks that have died lately. It's just incredible. But I pray that you'd comfort our folks here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.